Weeks, solidarity, Bricky team listener, when the deputy caring business class party supremos Susan Lees and Dregs attacked the teal independents over tax cuts for the filthy rich. Not for opposing them, of course, but for not supporting them vigorously enough. Tax cuts which, after all, she pointed out, are in their constituents' interests. Showing, she said, only the caring business class party can truly represent the filthy rich. This despite one of the teals, Kylie Ting, telling a City Investment Bank conference Wednesday she did support the cuts, indeed considered many of the filthy rich beneficiaries not rich, leaving us to ponder, one, her definition of rich, and two, what she would think of her constituents if she represented a working class seat. Not that there's any danger of that. And good news, former socialist big supremo Julia Gorlinghardt also attended the City Investment Bank conference, discussing how investors can make an even bigger killing. She's back in Troubadour Aussie briefly to promote a new book. Imagine how poor socialist Julia must have felt, surrounded by the class enemy, a socialist in King Capital's court. As an aside, on January 26, 1988, the bicentenary, as the reenactment of the First Fleet came through the heads, just to rub it in a bit more for the Indigenous people, I was with at Lady Macquarie's Point, a place name also rubbing it in, the first two ships, sails, advertising hoardings really, Coke and Citibank, and I thought the second invasion represents the world's new empire. Anyway, we asked Susan, given her commitment to the filthy rich, representing the filthy rich, if she would also criticise MPs and the poorest of the poor electorates for failing in their duty, not supporting their constituents strongly enough. Better pay and conditions, livable incomes, access to housing, to education, to public transport, health, open space, action on climate change and pollution, gender equality, that sort of thing, Susan. Why should we support electorates that don't support our progressive good-for-everyone policies? But having said that, tax cuts for the rich are in the best interests of those people, as that extra wealth and jobs will trickle down to them as undeserving as they are. Oh yes, the famous yellow liquid. On climate change, if there is such a thing, more than 100 Troubadour Aussie and Pacific religious leaders and Indigenous groups signed an open letter to Big Supremo Anthony Albanese, calling for policies that are none of their keep your noses out of politics business, like addressing climate change if there is, blocking new coal and gas ventures, ending corporate welfare to the great fossil behemoths, transition assistance for workers, help for Indigenous communities protecting their traditional lands, claiming the most vulnerable people and ecosystems are at risk. We hear the cries of anguish from those most vulnerable in the human family, losing their lives, their livelihoods and homes through climate-fueled disasters. The current level of warming is not safe. This moment in history calls for an urgent, courageous, visionary response, especially from those in power. Yeah, well, good luck with that. Urgent, courageous, visionary from politicians? One Indigenous signatory, Anne Polina, blasphemed against the urgent, courageous visionaries with, "Political support for the resource extraction industry is at times brutal as it exerts corporate dominance over the interests of the Troubadour Aussie people." Showing how long-haired commie greeny wouldn't work in an iron lots have infiltrated at least 100 or so of the dear baby Jesus and Yahweh and Allah and Buddha lots. But fear not. Normality returned with Anthony ruling out a moratorium on fossil projects. Any such move would damage employment and economic activity, far more important than the extreme climate, extreme weather activity the most vulnerable and indeed almost everyone else are enjoying across the planet, destined, it seems, to keep enjoying as long as the planet survives, or more correctly, life on the planet survives. Much less important than employment and economic activity. So obviously Anthony knows that alternatives to fossils provide no employment or economic opportunities or activity. Fossils Minister Chris Bowen at the Capitol, who continues to live up to his name, called for the Socialist Party to re-engage with faith communities. Yeah, well, his determination to continue approving fossil projects should do wonders for that. Still, even if we support extracting more coal and gas, we will address climate change by stopping cows burping and farting. Well, good luck with that one too. Oh, and Lord Rupert of Wapping's well-informed readers would have had no idea of that open letter item, obviously an item in the news they don't need to know, as determined by Lord Rupert and his editorial lackeys. But one lackey, the usual suspect columnist, may well inform them, given he will be so distraught that religious leaders could be so fooled by the warmists who preach the climate change lies. He would understand Indigenous leaders being fooled because, well, because they are so foolish. Foolish anti-white racists. His column on this issue should be a must-read. A similar great anti-white racist mind. Good news this week, I thought, when one of our favourites, former Hayseed and Sheepshit Party Supremo Barnacle, disappeared into the back bench. We'd lost him, but good old Barnacle reappeared this week, similarly opposing anti-white racists, equating an Indigenous voice to Nazi racist legislation, showing that Barnacle opposes Nazi racist legislation. Or we think it shows that, given it's almost impossible ever to understand what he's talking about. One of the great supporters of Indigenous rights, mining and pastoral, filthiest of the filthy rich, twitty for resting profits off us, we know because he keeps telling us that anyway his family pastoral interests employed the Indigenous people they displaced, providing them with beads and mirrors and tobacco and lots of goodies. Poor Twitty has to face the federal court next year, sitting on traditional land in the Pilbara, where the Yinjabandi Aboriginal Corporation reckons Twitty's mining interests caused, without bothering to seek an Indigenous land use agreement, as much damage as Rio Tinto, the planet, managed at Juukan Gorge. Indeed, the court has already ruled that way, and the hearing is to assess damages. Poor Twitty attempted to appeal the decision in the High Court, but was thwarted when the Western Troubler Aussie government supported the Aboriginal Corporation and opposed the High Court hearing the appeal. The Yinjabandi people say Twitty destroyed hundreds of sacred and significant sites, and sadly for Twitty, the compensation could exceed 500 mil. Thankfully, though, a very small percentage of Twitty's wealth, and anyway, he knows what it's like having mining companies encroaching on your land. He took a rival company to the High Court when it wanted to explore on his pastoral properties, a right Twitty assumed for himself, but my God, don't do it to me. He won the case. If a fundraiser for Twitty is required, I'll let you know closer to the hearing. Back to the great investment banks that do so much for all of us. The Luddite resistance to progress by evil unions was exemplified yet again when the Finance Sector Union announced it would oppose a very sensible time-saving device by the Macquarie of Profits Bank. Avoid the time-consuming necessity to keep work time records for workers by scrapping little conditions like meal breaks, rostered days off, overtime, penalty rates, annual leave loadings and public holiday entitlements. Applying to the Fair Work Troubler Aussie No Longer Work Choices just looks like a con mission to have the banking award amended to allow such sensible exemptions. And what does the evil union do? It says it will fight the application. On what grounds? Macquarie, the profits, provide certainty. Its workers know they must work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the same pay. Macquarie can make a killing for its shareholders, which will trickle down to those workers in the long run. Maybe the very, very long run, but there we have it. Win, win. Although, I'm not absolutely certain its application would pass the better off overall test. It could be lucky and get caring business class party totally neutral appointee Sophia Mirabella Cosa hearing the case, and then it'd win hands down. Macquarie, the profits, she would rule, will be much, much, much better off. And anyway, the bank has an impeccable reputation as a caring employer. Unless we unfairly take into account the 15 mil it was forced to repay workers it had ripped off or, inadvertently underpaid. Yes, yet another example of evil unions resisting progress. And two things happened at Sydney University this week. It rose four places on the Higher Education World University ranking. And then, what thanks did it get from the staff who achieved this? They went on strike. Strike! What ingrates! Claiming management had dragged out new enterprise agreement negotiation for 15 months. Key sticking points being the size of a pay increase. Yes, lazy avaricious worker greed yet again. And protections against overwork and unpaid work, especially for casual staff. The union made outlandish claims like it was the staff's hard work that carried the uni through the pandemic and led to its jump in the rankings. And to compound the injustice, it is also collecting evidence it claims of wage theft, as if. Just because the uni was sprung last year with 15 mil, that seems to be the going figure this week, 15 mil in underpayments, with the evil union declaring, and how's this for long-haired commie hyperbole, underpayment is baked into the business model of the university. What proof have they got? Well, other than the 15 mil. And anyway, even if the hyperbole is correct, it would be baked into the business model inadvertently. Meanwhile, also up north, the Evil New South Wales Teachers Federation was fined $60,000 for taking industrial action breaching a court ban, although on one level it was pretty lucky. The Education Department argued it should be fined $540,000. Interesting. The $60,000 it was fined is three times the fine we mentioned last week for a young woman losing her right hand in a Mensa. Remember her caring employer telling her to stop screaming, she was frightening the customers, and double the fine a trucking company copped for killing a worker, showing finally how the law understands evil union industrial action is so much more heinous than injuring and killing workers. Good morning.